It is so great to be here today. It's so great to see you all. It's so great to have the technology that those at home that aren't able to be with us are able to still be with us. And so welcome again, as was mentioned earlier, to those who are here, to those who are tuned in. We are so excited to be able to be together to worship our Heavenly Father. Thank you to those who have led us in our worship today. Before we get into our sermon time, as we are now here to reflect on ourselves, reflect on where we are, to focus on where we need to be or where we need to be going, I do want to just make mention of a few things that are bits of good news. It is good today to be able to have little Arlo with us. Arlo Teague back there, he's been in and out of the hospital, and certainly thankful he's doing better, Alex. And so we're going to continue to pray for him. It's also good to have our little sweet Molly Ward with us. We do want to continue to remember Molly as she's running tests and Mom and Dad are running tests and all. And she's doing well, as Whitney told us this morning in class, but we want to continue to pray for her also. It's also good to have Clay McHugh here today. Clay recently had surgery on a broken nose, and so I'm glad he's able to be back with us. But also, for the very first time, I believe, and again, we're in a whole different world. You know, normally I'd bring him up here, but we have Tripp Hall with us this morning, and certainly Tripp has had some few issues back and forth, but we're thankful he seems to be doing great. Emily, will you hold him up for us? Look at that little man. Welcome, Tripp. You didn't get a chance to cry with me like your sister did, but I'm glad you're here. And thank y'all for having him with us today. What a blessing. What a blessing it is that we have babies. And listen, I love hearing those babies. I do. That means mamas and daddies have their babies with us. Every uh-oh, every fuss, every hey, every whatever it is, I'm glad they're here. And mamas and daddies, I'm glad you have them here. I do have some more good news with you, and this is the type thing that he would not want me to say, but I'm excited about this. I think it's a blessing. We have great elders here at Azalea City who shepherd us, and I appreciate them and their leadership here and throughout the community. But I serve on the board with Mike Eubanks. I serve on two boards with Mike Eubanks. And this past Friday, we had elections at Faulkner University. And our elder, our friend, our brother, Mike Eubanks, is the new vice chair of the board at Faulkner University. And so great leadership, great man, and I appreciate you, brother, and glad to serve with you. But y'all continue to pray for the Faulkners and of the world out there, and we also need to be praying for our president and first lady as they also have the coronavirus. And so a lot of that going on, but thankful that they seem to be doing pretty well. You know, as I think about our focus this year, I told you before, recently, Wednesday night. And by the way, Wednesday nights are going great. Oh, man, they are just awesome. If you can be here on Wednesday nights, come on back. And we're observing all the precautions and everything that we need to do by our CDC and our government that they tell us. But man, we're having some great classes. And Justin and I, we just got a little lonely. We did. We miss everybody. I love the people in my class, but we miss everybody. And so we made a plea to the elders to get back together a little bit before, and they obliged that. And so that's why we're changing things up a little bit. So thank you, Justin, and I appreciate that, y'all working with us. But when it comes to being here on Wednesdays or being here on Sundays or being in our Bible classes or being in Bible study, I am so thankful we have the opportunity to do that, right? I'm so thankful. First of all, it's a command, and it's a freedom. It's a privilege, as Jason prayed about earlier today, that we have this blessing to be able to be here. And you know, I'm the more I need God, the more He wants me, right? I mean, that works together. He desires a relationship with me, and I desire that relationship with Him. And the closer we get to one another, the closer the closer I get to God, obviously He gets closer to me. I know that seems one of those that makes sense. Yeah, no doubt about it, Terry. Moments, but the what I'm trying to tell you is, as easy as that is to understand, then it must be easy to understand that the further I drift away from God, the further I get from Him. And I know that is just like, duh, no kidding, Terry. But it's really important for us to understand. Because I think one of the greatest tools of the devil, and this is where I'm going, I've said this on Wednesday recently, and I've said it up here recently, I think one of the greatest tools of the devil is what he's doing to 2020. I think he is trying to drive a wedge in church members from God and from one another. Social distance. I get it. Totally. I've been there, done that. I know what it's like to have the virus, and I know what it's like to, you know, wish I didn't, you know. But at the same time, that social distance does not need to be spiritual distance. We do not need to spiritually distance ourselves from God or spiritually distance ourselves from one another. We must get active as socially distanced as we can. We must be on fire. We must take the last 10 months, whatever it's been, 9 months, 8 months, 7 months. I don't even know what month it is, right? But the point of it is, right here in October of 2020, we're closing out a year that many would say is the worst year of all time. And I get that we were, for us, in unprecedented times. But at the same time, the church has got to exist. The church has got to grow. And so what I want us to do today is focus on the world we live in, but focus on the world not living in us. And I want to do that by going back to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. What an awful, awful time in history. What an awful, awful place to live. And let me say, the reason this is on my heart is as I go through the beginning of the Bible again, in Genesis 19, I was reading, and it just kind of hit me that I'm not saying we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is there's a lot of sin around us. There's a lot of struggle around us. There's a lot of heartache around us. There's a lot of hate around us. There's a lot of concern around us. There's a lot of worry around us. And if we're not careful, we will allow all that to live in us and forget to live in Jesus Christ. And we've got to make sure we are not doing that. How did Lot end up in Sodom? How did he, as the patriarch of his family, take his family and live in Sodom? Well, it became an argument in Genesis chapter 13, if you'll recall, between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Abram and Lot had acquired so many blessings from God, so much wealth, so much prosperity, so many animals, that it was causing a strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. But you know what Abram, wise Abram, remembered in all of that is, hey, we're family. This ought not be the case. And so he said to Lot, we are brethren. We shouldn't have any strife between us. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick anywhere you want to go. And that's going to be yours. I'll take whatever you don't want and we'll live there. And we'll be able to dwell. We'll be able to prosper. We'll be able to do what we need to do. Well, Lot looked up and he saw the beauty of Sodom. The flowing plains, the green grass, all the precious area, the fruitful places that he could be. And so the Bible says there that Lot pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Lot lived in Sodom, Gomorrah, but ultimately Sodom and Gomorrah live in Lot's family. We've got a beautiful place around us today. We live in the land of the free because of the brave, right? We are free today to worship God. Even though there's attacks on religion and there's attacks on all the things that we're trying to do out there and the devil's trying to drive a wedge, we live in the United States of America. But at the end of the day, the United States of America can't live in us. Sin can't live in us. Evil can't live in us. We must focus today on leaving sin once and for all. I want to talk about some things in Genesis 19 that ought to get our attention. If you're in Genesis 19 now, we're going to read in just a moment several different spots of this chapter. In beginning, I want us to look at verse 14. Genesis 19, verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Now, how did we get to verse 14? Well, a lot of sin. And I'm not going to necessarily go into it. I recognize some of the people in the crowd today are little and have little ears and innocent ears. Mamas and daddies, you explain to them Genesis 19, what's going on there. But it's sin, right? It's sin. It's sin that we still see in our world today. And it's becoming acceptable in our world today. But once again, Sodom and Gomorrah was a beautiful place, right? Sodom and Gomorrah was fruitful for Lot and his family. But ultimately, the surroundings of Sodom and Gomorrah started living in his family. So Lot's daughters go and marry these guys. And it gets bad. You remember, there's these men trying to get these men to do bad things together. And Lot's trying to fight it the best he can. Ultimately, an angel comes and says, "Hey, get out of here. Tell your family you got to pack up and go." So Lot says, okay, he finally gets it serious, and he goes to his family, and he says, "Hey, we got to go. God's going to destroy this place." It was so bad that his sons-in-law thought he was joking, which leads me to this point, point number one. When Sodom lived in Lot's family, respect for parents declined. Now that might sound a lot like where we are right here in 2020. After the angels told Lot that Sodom was about to be destroyed, Lot went and he warned his daughter's husband. It is immediately apparent that they were not spiritually minded, nor did they hold righteous Lot in too high of regard. They did not take the older, wiser Lot serious in a matter of hours. Consequently, those sons-in-law that thought Lot was joking were consumed in the hell, fire, and brimstone. Perhaps if they would have had the proper respect for Lot, they might have been spared. You see, when Sodom lived in their hearts, respect for authority, respect for parents declined. We are living in that time. Now, I'm not going to talk about the teenagers at Isaiah City, but let me just tell you where we are in the world today. There are teenagers, there are children, there are families that because the world is living in them, they're not just living in the world is living in them. In 2020, respect for those same parents, respect for authority has declined. I lived in a time that if our dad told us to do something, you better had already done it. You can't understand. Now, let me tell you, my mom and dad raised three Christian boys, and we're all here today. Okay? But at the same time, there were some hard times coming up in our household. I think any one of us boys would tell you that. Our dad was very strict. Our mom was very spiritual. And when you combine those two, you know, I feel like great things ultimately came out of that. But we didn't like it. But my dad always taught us to never be disrespectful. That's why today I am thankful for that. If a police officer tells me to pull over, I'm going to pull over. I'm not going to hate them. I'm not going to curse them. I'm not going to attack them. Just being real. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Are there bad ones out there? I'm sure there are. There are bad preachers. There are bad parents. There are bad a lot of things, right? There are exceptions to rules. But today, if my elders tell me, Terry, we want you to do this, I know they have the best for my soul. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to question. It's just the way it is. I'm going to respect them. And we could go on and on, can't we, with authority? Our parents is where we first get that authority. Ultimately, it comes from God. But what has happened in our society today is a lack of respect for parents and a lack of respect for authority, and we as a church have got to take it back. We got to take it back. My children are going to respect me. Friday night, this is not about my children, but I demand respect. That is what I was taught. And it's what will drive me absolutely to the Incredible Hulk if I get disrespected. Friday night, I am the strength coach at Mobile Christian. We come out after halftime. We're in command of a football game, okay? We're doing what we should do to a weaker opponent. I have some guys who are in some leadership roles. I'm not going to say their position because I don't want anybody to think that these are bad kids. They're not. They're great kids. But we're stretching, and I'm so tired of individualism. And I want our guys to stretch what I tell them to stretch so that we can go and warm up. I have some guys not doing what they tell me to do. And I said, why are you not doing what we're about to do this and go do this. I got mad at them. Eventually, they apologized after the game, and everything's good. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a time when we just want to do what we want to do. That's unacceptable if it's not God's will. If I'm living in a time, if I'm a teenager, if I'm a child, if I know of those, if I'm a parent who've allowed my children to rule the roost, get control back. Your parents aren't joking when it comes to your soul. Lot said, get out of here. They said, you're joking. You see, that's the place we're living in. God warns about disrespect for parents. Leviticus 20, verse 9. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. What if we lived in that time? It wouldn't. The oldest child had it the worst, if that were the case. You get stoned to death. Second child's like, I'm going to clean myself up. Right? He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Some think it's funny today. Some think it's okay to ignore the disrespect of youth. But God doesn't think it's very funny. God doesn't think those things are funny at all. We've got to take that control back. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, you might want to study that later. But God gives the plan there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, right? We know this. If Sodom gets into families, if the world gets into our families, parents must gain control quickly. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying, I was a youth minister for 14 years here. And I love all the children that I've had a part with. And I'm very proud. Not all of them are faithful members of the church today, and that does hurt my heart. But there are those who are ministers, there are ministers' wives, there are those in this room today that are deacons, that are here at Sunday school, that are teaching classes, that are doing great things, and I love all of y'all for that. But let me tell you something. The reason some are lost and the reason some are found has nothing to do with me. It's because of the parents. If my children go astray and become heathens and punks and bad people, it's not Justin Barnes' fault. It's mine. Justin and Ashley are great influences. They are great tools. I love them dearly. But youth ministry's got to start at home. And we've got to understand that. We've got to get that control back. We've got to teach it. And we've got to get the Sodom out of our families if it's there. Secondly, this morning, as I look at Genesis 19, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, there was a reluctance to flee evil. Look at Genesis 19, now 15 and 16. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. God tells me, hey, I'm about to destroy your home with hellfire and brimstone. You better get out of there. I don't think I need an angel telling me you better hurry up. But Lot did, for whatever reason. The angel said, arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. And while he lingered, really? The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. The angels literally had to take Lot by the hand and lead them out of the city. I don't want you to think that, oh, well, but, you know, it was a nice little place. And remember what they were leaving behind. Total unrighteousness. They were leaving behind filth and sin and abominations to God. But the angel came and said, what are you waiting for? Let's go. Lot still lingered. The angel said, give me your hand and drag them, the way I picture it, out of the city. God's about to destroy this place. Wake up, Lot. But see, that's what happens. When the world lives in me, I become a friend to the world. I become comfortable where I am. Let me tell you something. If you are comfortable where you are spiritually, you might want to check yourself. We always need to be growing. We always need to be getting better. We always need to be challenging ourselves spiritually. I do not need to be where I've been a Christian now for many years. At 16 years old, when I obeyed the gospel, at 43 years old now, I better not be where I was at 16. At 63, if I'm there, if I'm 73, 83, 93, wherever I, to my time's up on this earth, I better always be further along. I'm never going to accomplish everything I want. I'm not going to accomplish perfection, right? But I'm going to be complete and whole through Jesus Christ. And I got to keep pressing on. Lot got comfortable. His family got comfortable. Despite the horrible evils, they could not bring themselves to leave. Today, as Christians, we're told to flee the evils of this world. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10:14. Flee the love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10 and 11. Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We must keep the world out of us. Too many are reluctant to distance themselves from activities and associations that are clearly evil. What happened? Hey, we're in South Alabama, folks. You don't have to tell me. But what would happen if somebody broke in your house to attack your family? I know what would happen. I know who's bought all the ammo up in the world. It's those right here in the South. Okay? I know you would go get your gun and protect your family. Listen, no judgment here. I'd do the same thing. I'm going to protect my family. Nobody's coming in my home. You know why? I've got cameras. I've got an alarm. I've got deadbolts. I've got a dog. I've got guns. But sometimes when we lock all that up and we set the alarm at night and everything happens, the most dangerous thing is already in there. Because we allow the world in. Come on in! Come on through television. Come on through internet. Come on through my device. By the way, there's some great things going on about devices today, and Justin is teaching great things about it. Jason's teaching great things about it. There's a lot of things being said about that, and we got to be mindful of it. Because we are letting the world in. Listen, I know we're not going to get away from it. We live in the world, but the world can't live in us. We've got to flee evil. We've got to get rid of it. If not, there's condemnation, Romans 8:1. There's the road to everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46. There's the misery and consequences of sin, Galatians 6:7. If we are reluctant to leave the things of this world, then we will ultimately suffer eternally. You might say, well, that's hellfire and brimstone. Guess what? It was in Sodom and Gomorrah too. Sometimes we got to preach sermons that move. They move us or the church moves me. Either way, we got to stir it up. And sometimes you got to stir it up in your family. By the way, it's not a popular thing to go home today and clean out the devices. I'm just going to tell you right now, that will not be popular. But I'd rather clean it out now and deal with some unpopularity than my family suffer eternally. Thirdly, this morning, when it comes to leaving the world, when it came to leaving Sodom, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, fear reigned in the place of faith. I'm a little bit longer today, so, hey, I missed 2 weeks. So I hope y'all don't get mad at me. We'll get out of here soon, though. But when Sodom lived in Lot's family, fear reigned in the place of faith. Here's what I want you to do now. I want you to look at Genesis 19:17-22. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, literally by the hand, that he said, this is the angel, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. It's kind of ironic to me there, really. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The angels told Lot, the angels now, messengers from God, you go to the mountains and you'll be saved. But Lot was too afraid. He was too afraid to go to the mountains and do what the angels told him to do. To me, that's unbelievable. But if I think a little bit further about it, it's kind of where we are sometimes today. You see, Lot was so influenced by the sin in Sodom that he became afraid to leave. This is the effect the world can have on Christians. Instead of being faithful, they become fearful. The world encourages and breeds fear. That's what the news wants you to do. That's what society wants you to do. Culture wants you to do. Be afraid. The big bad wolf is coming to devour you, little Red Riding Hood. But I want you to know something, folks. The scariest thing in existence today has already been defeated. The devil is the scariest being in creation, in eternity, and all existence today, but Jesus Christ beat him. But we still cower down sometimes in fear. Paul said, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 10. You see, we as Christians have no reason to fear the threats of this world. And I'm not talking about being smart. Y'all know that. I've said that from the beginning. I'm not talking about masks, and I'm not talking about the COVID situation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sin. I'm talking about the ugly. I'm talking about the evil that has caused us to cower down and not speak out. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he told Timothy, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The older I get, the more and more I believe it important to stand up and speak. Speak out. Not just live it. Bill and I have talked about this. He mentioned it Wednesday night. We can't just live it, folks. We got to speak it. I know it's one thing to live the Christian life and let others see me letting my light shine and people glorifying God. Jesus said that. But I also got to open my mouth when that opportunity's there. I've got to stand up for truth. I've got to stand up for justice. I've got to stand up, and I do it all in love. But if I don't, if I cower down, the devil's winning. They're trying to muzzle Jesus Christ. And we've got to take the muzzles off. Lie. Get to the mountains. Oh, no, I'm afraid. An angel's telling you, bro. Go. What are they telling us? What is the Bible telling us? Go. Stand up. Do this. Be strong. Be bold. What are we doing? Oh, no, I'm afraid. We've got to get that world out of us. Number four. When Sodom lived in Lot's family, this is a long point, a longing for the earthly was stronger than the will to obey God. Let that sink in. When Sodom lived in Lot's family, a longing for the world, a longing for the earth, a longing for the things of this world was stronger than their will to serve God. Look at Genesis 19:26. It's a very famous verse, isn't it? But his wife looked behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. To me, that is probably the most powerful lesson you can learn in the most graphic of ways. God told Lot's family, do not look back. Take your family and get out of here. Don't look back at this wicked city. But Lot's wife was too enthralled with the sin of that city. It wasn't that she looked back for her purse or she looked back for her whatever. It was that she longed to be back. And that look cost her in the most graphic way. Her glance was fatal. Through the eye of lust, Lot's wife wanted that one more look. And I'm here to tell you that it was one look too many. In Luke 17:32, Jesus simply says, three-word sermon, remember Lot's wife. All those years later, Jesus brought it back. We need to remember Lot's wife. When we are tempted to allow worldliness to get a hold of us. I don't know how many times now I've said this, but I'm going to say it however many more in one. Behind this wall is water. When you walk the aisle, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you go and you change, you go down into that water. And the person baptizing you puts you under the water. Their God, not the person, contacts you with the blood of Jesus Christ. You put to death your old self, selfish self, worldly self, sinful self, whatever self, right? And I come up out of that water, just like Jesus came up out of that grave to walk in newness of life. I am now a child of the King. Guess what happened when I went down in that water? It quit being about me. And it better be about Him. You see, Jason read to us from 1 John 2:15 through 17. Let these words open your hearts and eyes today. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Finally, this morning, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, Sodom's sin became their God. Now, what I'm about to read to you is not for the faint of heart. Again, I'm going to read it. Parents, if your children ask questions, be prepared. But look at Genesis 19. This is after they've left Sodom and Gomorrah. This is after mom has turned into a pillar of salt. This is after hell, fire, and brimstone has rained down on the sins of that city and God has wiped it away. Verse 30. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. Imagine that. And his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. So it happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Unfortunately, the problems of Sodom were not completely removed even after its destruction. Sodom was still very much in the hearts of Lot's daughters. They had regular contact with the citizens of Sodom, and that influence rubbed off on them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 was true when Paul wrote it then, and it's still true today. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In similar fashion, one cannot feed their mind the garbage of this world and not expect consequences. One cannot go where Satan is and escape his influence. I cannot fill my mind with garbage hours and hours and hours every day and not ultimately expect garbage to come out of my life. We talk about it with teenagers, and rightfully so. My dad, again, I told you about our strict upbringing that I'm thankful for today. I wasn't always thankful for it as a teenager, but his big deal was, who are you hanging out with? Who are you associating with? If you associate with the wrong crowd, you'll be part of the wrong crowd. And I still think we've got to harp that with teenagers. Who are your friends? Who are your influences? Who are you going to date? What are we trying to accomplish? Is it about how many likes I get on TikTok by filling even though I'm lip syncing profanity and derogatory terms? Is it about how many likes I can get on Instagram? I don't even know how Snapchat works. I could go on and on, right? Is that what really matters? And we say that to teenagers, and I think we should. But let me, as not being a youth minister today, talk to the church. What about us? What about us? What's filling our hearts? What's filling our minds? What are we focused on? Oh, we left Sodom and Gomorrah, Terry, but has the impact scarred our hearts? Has it scarred our minds? Lot's daughters left Sodom and Gomorrah too, but look what they did. If I'm not careful, Sodom's sin will become my God. You sit down with dogs, you rise up with fleas. One may think that they could surround themselves with evil and not be affected. I'm here to tell you that one is dead wrong. Satan is unfortunately very good at what he does. And if I'm not careful, his influence can cost me my relationship with God and eternity with him in heaven. It was not a sin for Lot and his family to live in Sodom. The sin came when Sodom started living in them. Notice the words of Jesus as he's praying to his Father in John 17, beginning in verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We live in this world, but as Christians, we must live out of this world. Where are our hearts today? Where are our minds? What is our God? Who is our God? Today, if you're tired of the world living in you, then we got to leave it. We've got to walk this aisle, be immersed in water, allow God to change our lives, to walk in newness of life. Today, maybe you've done that. Maybe it's been a little while. And since then, you've allowed the things of this world, even maybe it's this year, maybe it's your past, maybe it's whatever. Today, it's time to put all that behind. It's time to allow God, through Jesus Christ, to be in control. If you have a need, come right now. Together, we stand and sing.